So obvious?
Yeah, well, it's just intrusive, I think.
Okay.
I am a happily married man.
Thank you.
Well, let's pray together. Father, thank you for Tim and Barbara and for the work that they are doing in Mexico and how you've used them over many years. And for their children, we just praise you for them and just pray, Lord, that you would just speak to them today, this morning, and we pray your blessing on their ministry and their travels while they're here visiting churches. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'll just use my teacher voice. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, it really is a pleasure to be here. We come back and I just feel like I was telling Sharon, I just feel like, you know, you have like-minded people. It's so good to be here. I just wanted to share something from my heart in Deuteronomy 28. We were doing Bible studies on the family and how important the family is. It's an institution from God. And one of the Bible studies really struck me hard. If you get a chance, you can go back and read Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. But it was talking about when we put God first in our life, how God will bring all these blessings to us. And I know that it says that we will be the head and not the tail. In other words, we're going to be leaders. We're not going to be the followers. And I'm very involved in the school down there. And this last Christmas, well, it was a Christmas program that we were putting on. One of the ex-students came in, and of course, we have rules in our school, and she was always like, it's too strict, and this and that. She came back, and she calls me Maestra Barbara, and she said, teacher, I just am so thankful for what I learned here. It did such a good for my heart to hear it, because we hear a lot of success stories, but we teach values and principles in the school, and she said, you know, I'm in medicine. I'm studying to be a doctor. And she said, some of my fellow classmates were cheating. You know, it's really easy. I don't know what if they have cheating up here, but we get a lot of it in the school, and they pay high prices in our little junior high and high school. And she says, you know, they got kicked out. But she said, I learned values at the school. And we take the opportunity, you know, legally, I don't know what they say, but whatever. We take the opportunity to share the Lord, to teach the Christian worldview. And she said, I'm so thankful for what I learned. And that really boosted me up again. Yes, this is great. This is what we're here for. So I just thank the Lord for the opportunity to be your extension down there. I'm very involved in the school. Tim's going to explain some other things that we're involved in the mission and going to be starting a kindergarten. But thank you for the opportunity. And remember, we put God first in life. He has us out there as leaders, even in the little decisions that you make in life. So, thank you for allowing us to cheer.
Thanks. It's so great to come back and talk with you and share what God is doing. I think sometimes we forget one another because we get so involved in what's right before us, what's today, and we forget about tomorrow. And it's been 37 years. I think 37 years. You guys have backed, and we've been moving through South America. In 20 years now, we've been in a place called Ometepec, Mexico. Southern Mexico. Sometimes Mexico comes on the news, and you guys know that everything that comes on the news is always bad news. You know, very rare to hear good news. But there's good things going on. God is doing great things is going on. And just like shares up there in Matthew chapter 26, 18 and 19, God challenges us to extend into the kingdom that's before us and what's going on. Actually, I think it's chapter 28, 18, 19 and 20. God tells us to be an extension. Go and preach the gospel and share the gospel with other people. Reach out. And that's kind of what things are about in the world, you know. As we sit quiet and we start building our little shelters, God didn't tell you to go off and just be a hermit somewhere. God said, become involved. You know, things around you, wherever you are. And that's the exciting part about ministry. As these gray hairs continue to grow in these 37 years, working in 20 years in one place, you always start from the beginning thinking about 2 Timothy 2:2, you know, being reproductive of the kingdom. You go and share with others and teach others, and that faithful men will in turn teach other people. That's what the gospel is about. It's something to carry. It's an exciting part of your life to go on. And I think sometimes we get caught up in the mundane things of life and what goes on amongst us each moment, and we forget that there's a lot more out there. And we aren't just in our little spot, you know. It's kind of more comforting to sit in the little spot. But it becomes more exciting as you share with other people. And this is what life's about. Let me pray. Father, I thank you so much for the privilege to be part of Kisilov. To be an extension, Lord, working in South America and now in Mexico, Father, of this church up in Kisilov. Thank you, Father. Thank you for each one that's here. Thank you for each one that's part of this body and that gives us this encouragement and privilege to be sharing in other parts of the world as well your good news. Thank you for this moment of being with the family. In your name, Jesus, amen. There's a passage of Scripture in 1 Chronicles. If you open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles. Chapter 4. Verse 9 and 10. And I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Jabez Prayer. But it's an exciting passage of Scripture. And I think sometimes as we get older in life, we start thinking about how you got to retire, you got to kick back, you got to just enjoy things. And it brings to thought the guy who had planted everything, prepared everything. And he says, I got everything in the barn. You know, I've got it all put away. I'm just kicking my feet. You know, just depend on what I've got. And God says, today I'll take your life. You know, the Scripture tells us that passage, a little bit paraphrased for you just now, but that's basically what it says. There's a lot to do in life. And when you read through this passage of Scripture, the chapter starts up, basically it's following family lines. But it takes a pause on verse 9 and 10. If you have it, I've got a little bit different version, but follow with versions always change things around a little bit. But follow with me, and it says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother named him Jabez, saying, because I bore him with pain. Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my border, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. And God granted him what he requested. Oftentimes in life, we're kind of thinking about our own things and what's going on amongst us. And we don't pray this prayer. And it's interesting, Jabez, from the sound of it, didn't start off good. His mother said, you're a pain. Nobody likes that. You know, you're a pain. I'm going to name you Jabez because that means pain. Okay, so the environment from which Jabez came out was not that good. But he says, I want to bless. And he says, I want you to extend my territory. And the passage of Scripture has some things that are very important as you look at it. It says, he called upon the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me. Call upon God. Bless me, Lord. Use me. That thou you bless me, Father. And it says, and enlarge my border, and thou would, and thy hand might be with me, and thou wouldst keep me from harm, and that may not cause me pain. And God granted him what he requested. Okay? Bless you. Okay, we've been praying, God, use us in these 37 years. God, use us wherever we are, the strengths we have, the weaknesses we have. Even use your weaknesses, our weaknesses, to become our strengths and where we minister. I want to challenge you today. Yeah, we're working far away. But can you do that before God? Can you say, God, use me? God, use me. Maybe I've got 80 years in front of me. Maybe I've got 10 years before me. Maybe I've got 20 years left in my life. I don't know what we have. We really don't know what you have, but you can kind of analyze things a little bit. You know, quite a few years ago, said, okay, Lord, we're reaching 60 years of age. What's before us? What can we do? Oh, kick up our feet, think about retirement. No way. There's so much more to be done out there. You know, maybe you can't do the same philosophy. Now I'm practicing the aspect of letting somebody else lift up all the baggage rather than myself and throw it in. Having a little bit more patience and wait till other people move to do things, because it's kind of like our impatience makes us grab it and put it. You know, for many years you've been the leader, you've been pulling things and people behind you, but now suddenly you're pushing, you know, and then later on you're dragging, you know, they're pulling you behind you. And that's kind of been things as you start a ministry, you start putting things before, you start pulling, and then suddenly you're running behind to stay up with everything. That's exciting moments of ministry, and that's kind of what's happening. So as we look at some of the things, we're working in schools, using schools as an aspect of ministry, using sports, using camps, church planning, preparing people even better, seminary students, and sending missionaries. These are kind of all things that start developing from where you're involved. We can become involved in each one of these, and many of them. I don't know how God has things before you. So Jabez says, God, use me, use me. Okay? Right now, we're using all means to share the message of God's love and the gift of eternal life. Okay? This guy started, his name is Paco. At 14 years of age, he was starting to become a coach working with in soccer teams. Miguel, he's struggling right now. He's got three kids. His wife left him, but he's still powerfully sharing the Lord's gospel with other people and working as a coach. And this guy is kind of the director of the sports in our city. And he played with our Maranatha teams, and now he's the director of it. And he says, you know, Tim, you can use all the sports facilities. We'll hold them for you. We'll prepare them, and you can just use them, and we won't charge any. The city usually charges. So right now we have 200 kids, and we'll move into that, working with this. This is a men's soccer team. Segundo, some of you have gotten to know Segundo. He's sitting right there working with the men's soccer team. They've been able to minister at a men's level working on. Segundo's been really excited about working with soccer, and you guys, how many remember Segundo here? Okay, you remember Segundo. Okay, he's working there. Right now he's preparing, and Barbara's using him teaching English in the secondary school as well. And he wants to prepare better. His two kids, younger kids, are playing on some of the soccer teams. So God is using him as what? A faithful man who will in turn teach others and raising up things. Soccer has become a great aspect of reaching out. We've got another youth league working on, and Marco right here, and let's see, where's Marco? Right there in the soccer team. He's the coach there, and he says, Tim, he says, we've been working with children's teams and raising them up as well. We'll look at that in a minute. But then they get bigger than 14 years of age, 14 cuts off there, and then where do they go? Well, they go into a city league, into basically a youth league, 16 to 18 years of age, and continue to develop the contacts that we've had with them. What are these kids? These kids will start off with the children's league. Here in a minute, I'll move into that, where we start reaching with 10 years of age. But really, you get new kids coming in, other ones going out, so there's a constant movement. And what do you learn in soccer? Okay, soccer is a fun sport. I don't know how many play soccer around here. You kick that crazy ball, you know, we'll have fun. But you learn to have patience. You learn to control yourself. You learn to encourage other ones around. You learn that you can make mistakes and still pick up from after it. You learn to trust. You know, some kids don't come out of a very good trustworthy or trusting environment. So amongst this, you teach them how to trust in the Lord, how to be disciplined before God. And it's a great aspect around a ball to teach the principles that God has given us. And everybody likes to play soccer. You have fun. You have good games, you have bad games, you know. And this is a fun time to reach out. So reaching young people in soccer and sports has been a great way we continue to minister on it. So these are the teams going on. The Children's League, we have close to 200 kids playing every Saturday. Right now we're in recess because it's summertime. But 200 kids playing, there are 12 teams, approximately 15 to 18 kids per team, 15 to 20 kids per team. So we're reaching to close to 200 kids every Saturday. Six teams, 10-year-old up to 12-year-old, and six teams, 13, 14-year-old in which they work. So there's 12 teams total working out with seven guys, our soccer coaches working with them. Messages shared at halftime, messages are shared in practice times, and reaching out to them when they have problems, and being that image to them. A lot of them don't have a father because the father's left the home. They have just mother, maybe the grandparents are raising them. Some have come to the United States to work, and some of these kids are just kind of floating. It was interesting, one of them was walking around at that time, basically the new iPhone he had in his hand, and it was Father's Day, and one of the kids said, yeah, he says he's got his phone. That's his father because his dad's in the States working. He's been up there for 10 years. He really doesn't know who his father is. But he sends him dad down. He says, it's a poor replacement. You know, don't have dad, but you got a phone. So that's really nice, right? Sometimes we lose our values. Mexico does the same thing. We lose the values and the things, and we forget the time with people. So these guys have been being those fathers, sitting down, talking with the kid, get frustrated, work with them, laugh with them, run with them, what? And teach them. So part of this is what's going on with the kids in soccer ministry. As Barbara's sharing, we've got a school going on right now. One of our struggles, I think I shared with you last time, was that as a pastor, you reach people maybe 2 hours a week. But if you have a school, you got them 5 hours a day, you know, 5 to 6 hours per day. Okay, you need to teach the material, but how about if you teach the material from a Christian worldview? Our school is not per se a Christian school, but all the values there taught are school, and the teachers are all Christian teachers that believe in the things of the Lord, and they teach a Christian worldview as they teach the materials that before them. And they've gotten responsibilities in which is being on. So our school right now has 92 students with 25 and students in preparatory. This would be high school and this is junior high. And the school's been growing. There's been 3 years now. We've had to turn people away because the school is too full. The classrooms are 25 to 30 kids. They all have 30 in them. And really, they're made for 25. So we've extended a little bit more. So we've been praying, God, give us the ability to expand. Not only that, our public junior high school right before below us had problems this year because drugs really got into school. 30 kids went off to the hospitals. They're really pretty bad off. So the school was shut down for 1 month, approximately, while they're solving, trying to find out one problem, one with another one. And a lot of those parents want to put their kids in our school. We charge money, because if you don't charge money, sometimes they don't value what's going on. And it covers the expenses of the teachers. It's autosufficient in that part, except when it comes to expansion and things, major projects that go on. So right now, we're in the process of buying 7.5 acres on the edge of town. And I was talking with John. John says, you got something new for you? Yeah, John, we got something new. Come on down. He helped us put the second floor on the school quite a few years ago, and that helped us expand and be able to receive the kids we have right now. Teachers have been working. The director's been working with it. So in the process of buying 7.5 acres of land, we paid 3 million pesos for it. We need to have 2 million and a half more. I just made a payment of 1,250,000 now in June, and Lord willing, next June, we'll have the old other 1,250,000. I don't know where it's coming from, but God provides. School has some of it, and God helps us raise the rest. This year in August, classes are expanding to another group in junior high, and we'll be starting a kindergarten, as was prayed at Millen, and maybe in the year 2021, we'll start an elementary school, and the idea is put the elementary school where the junior high is right now. So we'll be using that facility. As we move out of it, we'll start an elementary school. In other words, we'll work through the whole grade levels. God wants us to be a light in a society of problems. Mexico, half the population is younger than 25 years of age. So it's a great place to be, expanding, working with kids, children, youth. It's fun. You got challenges. You know, there's a lot of other things coming in as well. But the gospel needs to grow. And as Barbara's sharing, some of these kids that graduate from the school, you know, God is using them. They come to know the Lord in the school. I'd like to say all the kids that leave the school come to know the Lord. No. I'd like to say all the kids that come to school know the Lord. They don't. In the process of coming, we maybe have, 4%, 5% of the kids are Christians in the school, maybe. I don't think we make 10%. But it's a great opportunity to share the Lord in this environment. In our city, basically about 2% of the people in the city are Christians. The rest of them have the traditional belief of Roman Catholicism, which if you know anything about it, I'll share later on that. Okay, so things are coming on. Okay, we need short-term missionaries for these projects as we continue to reach out, come down for 6 months, for a year, to work in the extension of the school. This is part of the school projects, working with the kids. Here's Barb, she's sub-director of the school, academic dean. These are all Christian young men and women that know the Lord and working as teachers in the school right now. The director's Eliel Galindo right there and part of it. This is graduation time, didn't come out too clear, and reaching out to people in our area of Mexico. I'm preparing up the different things that take place in our school, you know, the graduation and different festive moments. Working with camps. Camps is another thing. I think we prayed about the camps going on locally. It's a great place to reach people. This year, we had 169 people go to our youth camp. Whoops, here we come back, moving into it. We had a retreat of 50 people in attendance, our children's camp and adolescents. Had 40 children, 50 adolescents. And a missionary camp, we had 22, we'll be starting shortly. Okay, what are these about? This is a camp. It's really a sad place to be in the month of January, the end of December, 80 degrees on the beach. I don't think anybody up here would like that. In the month of December, January, it's kind of dry. Palm Grove, Coconut Grove, running into the 80-degree water. It's rough life. Like that? Lagoon, right close by. Swim and play. Well, that's what we do. This year we celebrated 20 years of these camps. We had 169 kids. Our maximum before was 110, I think it was. So we were just busting at the seams. God is excellent. God is working with things going on. The directors, the camp guys that worked there, my camp counselors, took over. I fixed the bathrooms up. Some guy donated money. We fixed those bathrooms really nice. I thought, boy, we can handle maybe 150 kids. It was 170. With all the people on the beach, we were over 200. But the great thing that took place is that when we get there, they're rushing, they're playing, they're going in and take showers. You turn the showers on, things are running, I thought. Turn them up, nothing works. The pipes had gotten clogged. The birds were eating the crabs on top of the towers where the tanks are, and they clogged up the lines. So what we do, the guys respond right away. I'll take 20 kids down to the lagoon. We'll go shower. We'll go take our bath in the lagoon, take another 20. So suddenly what? We're moving. We had one shower kind of working. We unplugged it. Suddenly it opened up. God worked, right? Showers start working again. But it's fun time to be, as you can tell. The kids kind of enjoy it. Look where the enthusiasm comes through, taking place. At the end of the camp, close to, 160 kids made a decision for the Lord. Some for the first time, about 30%. 30% recommitted their lives to the Lord, and the other 30% committed to serve the Lord more. You know, they fall through the lines. But what? It's a challenge to go beyond where you're at. A challenge to not depend upon yourself, but depend upon the Lord. Respond to His love to us in life. That grace of God that works in our lives. And then we had a men's retreat took place. This year we had 50 men come together as we work on the beach. And they come and help work. But this time we came together in retreat time. They're challenged to be men of God. Lead your family. Look for the Lord. Get away from the habits that destroy you. Be a model to your kids. Very difficult. I think there as well as here, we struggle with that. Men's kind of an environment in Mexico right now, and things are going on in the lower 48, trying to find out about where you are in life. But the gospel tells us where to be. The gospel tells us how to step out, how to work, how to be a leader in your home, even be a spiritual leader. And sometimes we sit quiet and let the woman do that part when we should do that. That's part of leadership. That's part of what set the guidelines and the principles down. So we talked about that with these men going on. And they had a moment of commitment up here. Talked about the aspect of what goes on now with sexuality, you know, the homosexual aspect that comes in. How to handle this? How to respond? What's the Bible say about it? It's fun to get those principles that God plants, and that's the way we respond to those things. Okay, children adolescent camp. Barbara's the director of the adolescent camp part of it. Kids, we come together, use the same facilities, two different campgrounds. Again, plant these principles that God wants in a camp atmosphere. Camps are fun because you get them for 5-6 days away from their environment that's all around them in that moment, and you can share these principles in a camp time. So those are fun things to go on with. Hospital visitation. Continue to do that. There's other people doing it as well, visiting bed, sharing the message of the gospel. People that are suffering, that have problems. That's where the Christian is. That's where the light of God is. And we get involved in that. It's fun to be. Church planting. We have 4 congregations I'm ministering to right now, basically supervising them. One in Zihuatanejo, which is the state of Michoacán. Zihuatanejo is Guerrero, then also Michoacán, which are working in Renacimiento, Coloso. These are 2 places in the areas of Acapulco, and one in Oaxaca. And then we started working with a little mission in Ometepec again. What's going on there? Well, this area is the Renacimiento area of Acapulco, the backside of Acapulco, where they've had a lot of problems going on. God's provided to buy some land beside because the church outgrew its facilities. We had Daily Vacation Bible School out on public street. Now God's provided to buy a piece of land right beside it. So we purchased that, and we're reaching into working maybe with Compassion International, 150 kids in the area, reaching out to them in this area. They have Daily Vacation Bible School, which will be starting again now in the end of July, and get a bunch of kids together. It's hard to get the parents, but you can get the kids. And through the kids, you can reach the parents, and also you find about the needs of the parents, and you're able to also reach into their families. But it's that change. You get a bunch of kids, but to reach the parents is difficult where we are. So it's kind of pray for us as you reach into that aspect of it. Zihuatanejo and Lázaro Cárdenas. Lázaro is a small little mission group working up in that area. It's kind of dark on the screen right here, and this is Zihuatanejo Church church planting. Congregation has been there for quite a few years. It just hasn't grown. It just started growing again. So working at it to become a full-fledged church, being responsible, able of their own finances, and being able to call a pastor. And a year and a half ago, we started working in another area of Ometepec. 4 years ago, the church that we had planted went on, does really good. So I said, well, a couple years, we'll just see what God has. Worked in the soccer ministry, worked in evangelism in the camps. And then 2 years ago, some people asked us to help plant a church in another area of the city of Ometepec. So started off with 7 to 8 people. Now we're up to about 25 in attendance and adults and working with the kids there as well. A guy who goes around town announcing different things. Their baptism, take moment, time of baptism. There are 14 people prepared to accept, made that profession of faith before the Lord. It's exciting times to be there, but it's work. And as we reached out to them, it's a time of what? Everybody reaching out, everybody sharing, everybody coming involved. Right now, there's a young man working with us, which he's doing the preaching. Paco, which you saw as well, he's also working with the kids. His sisters are involved as well. And all these people, what? 2 Timothy 2:2. They still need guidance, still need leadership, but we're able to help and encourage them to continue to minister in Mexico. And we have a small little mission place called Arenal. Pray for that. We had about 9 adults coming. Right now, we have 30 kids coming, or 29, I guess it is, every week. But it's hard to get the adults. One thing or another has happened, and they kind of come down. We've got 2 men still attending, but one time we had 9 men and 9 women and no men. Now we've got the men. And Lord, work again to bring this life back into this church group and mission of Arenal. So reaching out to the message of the gospel. This is another men's group coming together in Metepec. We found the opportunity to get together a guy's workshop, his mechanic shop. And every Thursday, he's got a bunch of men. They're struggling. One guy, a friend was sharing with me, he says, this guy has he's got a problem a little bit. He likes women. And he says he's got 2 women right there. And I says, oh, yeah. He says, yeah, a month ago, he says, baby was born. I says, yeah. From which one of them? He says, both of them. He says, the 2 babies were born 2 days apart from 2 different women. And I go, boy, he must be a rich man being able to handle 2 families at the same time, you know, as you go on. But as we're able to share, things are happening. I don't know how long it'll take, but what, you reach them where they're at. You share the message where they're at. You keep praying for them and hoping that they will change. Remember one lady, it was prayed for her. She came and talked to me. She said, I'm struggling. I moved in with a man. His wife is in Mexico City with the kids. And he's here. When the kids call me, they don't like me. I says, why are they going to like you? You get between their mother and you, you know, I mean, their dad. What goes on? I says, well, she says, what should I do? I says, well, what do you think you ought to do? You know, you need to move out. You know, you need to let him go. And you find, and it took her about 7 years. She finally moved out. Life came back. So things take place sometimes. And you got to be persistent, constant in your walk with the Lord. Missionary camps. I'll be going back the 16th of July. We have a missionary camp starting the 22nd. Pray for a missionary camp. It's a great place where you challenge people. I was talking Sunday school. Challenge people to go beyond where they're at. Youth go beyond. I mean, it's good to go to church. It's good to be involved. But can you go beyond that? Can you take that step of commitment with God and feel God's blessings beyond that? Sometimes it's difficult. We challenge them in missionary camps. We take them, they run a track. So they work on their physical body. The body hurts. The fingers have splinters in them, thorns. You know, the body just is rough. And they don't sleep. So where do you sleep? You sleep in a tent. But if it rains, what happens? The rain comes in the tent. Oh, well, what do? You bail the tent, you know. You keep sleeping. The sleeping bag's wet. What do you stick it out? One guy, the sleeping bag got all wet from the rain, so they stuck it out. We happened to be in a pasture. The cow came by and unloaded on his blanket. So anyway, so he had to wash that in the stream again. And what do? Dry it out. Put it back in and use it. You know, you got to sleep in something. So things take place and you realize God is still there. Problems are still there in life. God is still there. You can depend on him and you can grow. This is what calls commitment. What? Work your mind. What do you have to do with your mind? You got to memorize. You got to learn scripture. You got to put it in your heart. So we have kids learn 3 to 4 verses in the morning for breakfast. You know, you can't eat breakfast if you don't say these verses. You know, you can't eat lunch if you don't say another 3 to 4 verses. You can't eat supper if you don't memorize those other 3 to 4 verses. But the thing is, for lunch, you got to remember the ones for breakfast. And for supper, you got to remember the one from lunch. So you remember breakfast, lunch, and supper. So by the time you're done with the day, you've learned 13 verses. It's not bad, is it? So that challenges your mind. You realize you can do it. Because a lot of us in life say, I can't do it. You can do it. But you got to reach out. You got to push yourself. And that's where God blesses you even more. And they learn how to share the Lord, learn how to get involved. And then they go out for a week of mission service, become involved in things going on. Daily Vacation Bible School, small groups, door-to-door knocking, evangelism on sports fields, you know. It's just all these things God has before us that we can do. Jabez said, Lord, extend my borders. Can you say, God, extend my borders? Let me go, what? Farther than where I'm at? Wow, that's a real challenge. And that takes place. Missionary camps will help kids extend their borders, go beyond the comfort zone, go in areas that you don't think you can do. Talk with the neighbor that you struggled with. What? Go and face them up, smile before them, share the good news with them. Wow, those are things that take place. And that's life. So these kids are what? They're doing right here. They're giving evangelism, playing soccer with some kids right here on a basketball court. Here they're coming together at the end. This is Daily Vacation Bible School. It's celebration time to get 30 to 40 kids together. We thought, well, 15 to 20, no. They're getting 30 kids together. Go out, find them, bring them in, share with them, take them back home. Wow, all that's out there. And sometimes we don't realize it because we're in our little comfort zone. Jabez says, God, extend my borders. Open me up. Bless me. It's funny, you know, but Scripture tells us that God blesses us when we bless others. When we become involved. God wants us to become part of the world in which we're at. He says, don't hide your candle on it in the bushel, but what? Extend it. Don't put a bushel basket over the top of it, but open it up that other people see. That's living life, enjoying life, sharing that life. That's going on. That's happening. Thanks for your support in Mexico. Thanks for helping us what's going on there all the time. Okay, so missionary statistics, these 19 kids that went out, worked, they visited door to door, gave out 1,000 gospels, working on it, presented the gospel to 482 people, door to door, and evangelistic campaigns. There were 178 decisions asking Jesus into their life. They had 357 kids in Daily Vacation Bible School. Not bad work for 1 week, is it? That can happen. But you got to move. You got to pray. Before we went into one town, it was very difficult. It was evangelism extension. We came into the town, nobody would open up their doors. We did an event on the basketball court. Suddenly everybody started coming. When we left, they were giving us masa, in other words, dough to make our tortillas. They were sharing their food with us. Why? The gospel of the Lord touches hearts. Commitment takes a while. 7 years in this one family, 8 years in another, sometimes a year, sometimes immediate. But it takes a while for people to be committed. But they're interested. You've come up to somebody with a smile on your face, with the joy of the Lord, and it kind of starts shaking them a little bit. They're not used to that. But we've got the joy of God. We've got God's peace in our heart. There's a lot of things that we have that we forget that we have. And instead of closing up and looking around our problems, when we extend out and look what God has, it's fun. Thank you for backing us in Mexico. Thank you for encouraging us. Thanks for those little notes that come through. Sorry we aren't very good at communication. There's a lot of things going on. But I think there's things going on here. We thank the Lord for you guys. Jabez's prayer, he says, God, extend my boundaries. Bless me indeed. What? That my hand might be with, that you will keep me from sorrow. I think keep me from problems. Keep me from things happening. I've heard your prayers today. Praying for people to keep from problems. We're in problems. We get in problems. Part of life is problems. But how do we handle it? Just like the kid on the soccer field. You missed that ball, but you can kick it next time when it comes by. You know, you got to go home and practice a little bit better. You got to work at it. You got to pick it up. Same thing with us. We tried it, didn't work out right. We throw it down. No, we come back at it. God has it before us for some reason. That's life. That's fun. That's the things that are beyond there that God gives us becomes challenges in life. Thank you for backing us in Mexico. As you pray, look for scriptures, look for the things God has. You prepare what I just shared with you. Running through the mud, running through the dirt. This takes place in life. Missionary camp training, it took place. Our seminary students. We've had 5 kids work in seminary. Now we've got just three that are left. Right now, Polly and his wife, and they just got married now in June. Manuel is working there as well. And people that graduated, Betsy's graduated, Daisy's graduated, Marlette has graduated with her husband, coming down to work as well. These are people that God, 2 Timothy 2:2. Daisy will be our future director of our kindergarten coming in. She's been there. Thanks for backing her for 2 years that she was working there, praying for her, and seminary's been working there as well. Marlette with her husband, this isn't her husband's friend, her husband's in another picture, but they're coming down to work, co-pastors in the church that we founded, and working as well, God using, and working as that church continues to grow. And Hippolito and his wife I met. They met before they went to seminary and fell in love, and now they've been in seminary, and they just got married now in June. So they've been there for 2 years, and God is using them right now. He's learned a lot in communications, and this is one thing that God is using as well as we move into things that are beyond. Edith is getting ready for going off. She feels a call to missionary service in reaching the Muslim country. She was over there for 1 month, and now she wants to go back for 6 months as a tent maker. Planning to go back in 2020 for 2 years. Daisy, I already shared there. Lupita, Rolfi, these are people that are plans are getting involved in evangelism and working as well. 2 Timothy 2:2. We always need to keep that. Who are we going to teach to go on? Sometimes it's a longer process. Sometimes it's us that we need to be able to let go and let them go. And that's hard to do. I can tell you that. I'm struggling with that still. How long before you let them go? How much can you come back and monitor and help them go? But that's what it's about, reproduction. So continue to pray that God lets us work in that. We need lots of prayer. God is working in each one of our lives. This is my family, just a few of us. We're 4 brothers, 5 of us brothers, raised in Mexico. God's used us in different parts of the world. And we got together 2 years ago. All of us brought our kids together. So it was a fun time of sharing what God has. And this is moments of different life. Barb with a little grandchild, little Ella. You know, working on it. So God blessed us now with 4 grandkids. Our kids are all serving the Lord, being missionary kids that kind of spread out. So God's been using us in different ways of it. And we want to share Philippians 1:3. I thank my God for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Thank you. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for backing us. Thank you for encouraging us. Thank you for letting us be your extension in southern Mexico. May I pray? Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to serve you. Be an extension of Kusilov community, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for helping us share the good news in Mexico. Thank you for sharing the good news of what's happening with Kusilov community. Thank you for the love that you've constantly shared with us. And we can share that no matter where we are. That we can pray the Jabez prayer. Extend my borders. Help me to reach into other people as well. In your precious name, Jesus, amen.